Cabin. And it's by my favorite singer, Don Francisco. And it's a great song. I just want you to listen to it. It's about how the serpent came in and he deceived Adam and he deceived Eve and he robbed them of everything that God had given them. And it just comes up and someone get the light.
Ashamed and naked from a garden that has never seen the rain. Rulers of a kingdom full of joy, never marred by any pain. The morning all around them seems to celebrate the life they've just begun. Majesty of innocence, the king and queen come walking in the sun. But the master of deception now begins with his deception of the word. And with all his craft and subtlety, his servant twists the secret true favor. Hanging in the balance, the world has been placed in their command. And all their unborn children die as both of them bow down to Satan's hand. And just before leaving, in the cool of the day, they hear the voice of God as he is walking. They can't abide his presence now, so they try to hide away. But still they hear the sound as he is calling. Adam, Adam, where are you? Adam, Adam, where are you?
You.
powerful song, isn't it? Really powerful song. And I've always liked Don Francisco. He's always spoken to me through his singing, you know. It's always like helped me through my life and my situations in my life, you know. And I always like to share this stuff. Hallelujah, Father. Father, as we turn to your word, Father, I pray that you would speak to us, Lord. Because your word, Lord, your word gives us life, Lord, and gives us hope. Your word gives us direction, Father, Lord. We just worship you tonight. We honor you.
Yes, Lord.
We thank you for your presence, Father, with us. Lord, just at that time of worship, Lord, your sweet presence, Lord. We just worship you, Holy Father. Because you are so worthy of glory and honor, Father, God. Please speak to us tonight, Lord. Let our hearts be open to hear what you have to say to us, Father. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. I've got tons of wee stories to start off with, but I like wee stories. But now lately I've been looking at a great man of God, a general called Smith Wigglesworth, and he was quite a character. He really was. He got into some situations. There was this young preacher who travelled with him, and as he was travelling with Smith Wigglesworth, he got a bit upset about his punching minister, you know. Smith Wigglesworth had a habit of punching people when he's praying for them, you know. And one time he said, Mr. Wigglesworth, he says, Lord, this is the punching of people, he said. He says, I'm punching the devil. He says, but they just get in the way. They just get in the way. One more thing I wanted to look at tonight. I don't know where I get all these wee bits of information from. They just come to me. We take the word gospel. You know, we all know what the word gospel means, don't we? It means? Yes, but it means more. It means more. I've just discovered this lately. I've never noticed this before. I'm going to give you what the word gospel means. We can maybe see the word gospel from a different angle. We know it means good news, and it means good news of glad tidings, doesn't it? But also, but the root word of gospel, actually, the root word comes from a military background. And it is as if you could see there's an enemy coming towards this country. There's an enemy coming towards this nation. And the king sends out his generals and his officers to battle. Mm-hmm. And he sends them out and he waits for word. He's waiting for word how the battle is going. And, you know, so the general comes and he comes to a soldier and says, send this word to the king.
Hallelujah.
And so, guy's coming. And he comes into the king and he bows before the king and he says, King, I bring you good news. He said, I bring you good news of victory. Mm-hmm. And that's what the word gospel really means. It's not just good news, but it's good news of victory for us.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, good news of victory. And how we got victory? Because we have such a champion whose name is Jesus. Mm-hmm. And he is Lord of all. We have such a champion that he, you know, the Bible says that we are more than conquerors. But we're more than conquerors to him, not to ourselves. We know that, don't we? But he shares his victory with us. When Jesus died on the cross and he conquered over death, hell and the grave, and he conquered over this world, he's made us, when we become born again, he's made us share that victory with us. We're more than conquerors. How can we be more than conquerors?
Hallelujah.
Think of that for 1 minute. What's more than a conqueror? What have conquerors not conquered? Well, no conquerors ever conquered the grave. Jesus has.
Amen.
No conqueror has ever conquered hell, but Jesus has. Amen. And no conqueror has ever conquered death, but Jesus has. And that's why we are more than conquerors. Even if you feel you're losing your strength, you actually can't. And you actually can't lose, folks. Amen. I can't lose.
Hallelujah.
Even though the enemy might be attacking you, battering you, saying all sorts of things in your soul, you can't lose. Amen. Because you're more than a conqueror.
Amen.
And the Lord wants you to know that you're more than a conqueror. This is not my message, by the way. I just wanted to share this with you. This might even be better than the message. I don't know, Lord. Yeah, might be. This is what you maybe needed to hear tonight and what James has to say here. Yeah, you're more than a conqueror because we have such a king.
Hallelujah.
Jesus, we have such a king. You know, the grave couldn't keep him. He didn't decay.
Amen.
Hell, Man, he ransacked it. Mm-hmm. And he took the keys.
Yes, Lord.
And death couldn't hold him.
Hallelujah.
So he's sitting at the right hand of God. He's conquered this world.
Amen.
And you know what, folks? He's come and he shared that victory with us as his children.
Amen.
As his sons and daughters.
Thank you, Father.
He's come and he's come to share that victory with us.
Jesus.
We have that victory. Okay, let's get into the message. Let's go to John 10, please. Have you got your Bibles? Come on, let's go into John 10. No, I hope that wasn't better than the message. My gosh, that is something. You know something we can do in church? We can actually laugh.
Yeah.
We can enjoy church.
Amen.
We can enjoy church. We can really enjoy church. We can laugh. You know, I really enjoyed Donnie's message this morning. Compliments. The one thing that really got to me was the Queen. And it's so true. You know, we accept Jesus. Oh, Jesus. But do we really accept him as Lord in our lives, you know? I've been reading something lately. It's in Hebrews. That God chastises every one he accepts as a son. Because he wants us to share in his holiness. And sometimes when I used to read that, I would go, oh, God. Yeah. But I don't anymore. I actually got joy. He says, God, thank you. If you're chastising me, it's because I'm your son.
Yes, Lord.
You've got to look at it that way. You've got to look, if you're chastising me, Father, it's because I'm your son. Yeah. And you want me to share in your holiness. You want me to share your character. You don't want me to miss out on it, Lord God. You want me to share in these things, Father. Anyway, let's go. Right, here we go. John 10. I want to look tonight at a bit in John 10 and it talks about thieves and robbers. But I'm just going to read on from, say, the first verse to 11 or so, okay? I tell you the truth, the man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate but climbs up some other way, he's a thief and a robber. The man who enters in by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought all his own out, he goes ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will not follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but they do not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, I tell you the truth. I am the gate to the sheep.
Mm-hmm.
All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to him. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and out and find pasture. Now, let's just listen to this bit. This translation says, the thief comes only to steal, he comes to kill and destroy. The thief comes only that's his only purpose, folks.
Mm-hmm.
His only purpose is this, he comes to steal, he comes to kill and he comes to destroy. But Jesus said of himself, God has said of himself, that's not what I've come. This is why I've come. This is why I have come.
Mm.
It says, I am the good shepherd. No, it says, sorry. And I have come that they might have life and life to the full.
Amen. Jesus.
I am the good shepherd. I laid down my life for my sheep.
Mm.
Bad devil, good God.
Yes.
It's quite simple, isn't it? It's quite simple. It took me years to learn that, folks. But to honestly, I swear to you, it took me years to learn it. It took me so long, you know. But Jesus has come that we, his sheep, we can have life to the full. That's the purpose he came into this world. Now, let's look there at verse 7. He said, therefore said Jesus again, I tell you the truth, I am the gate to the sheep. All who ever, and he says, all who came before me, they were thieves and robbers. Now, we know that the Bible points out that not everyone who came first as a thief and a robber. Because God appointed men. He appointed Moses to lead his flock. And Moses rose up Joshua. And after that we know that the judges came. And after the judges, God rose up a king. And after the king, the prophets and priests and holy men. And after that, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. So we know that God raises up men. But there's a difference. You've got to listen to this difference. It's very subtle. It's very, very subtle. This difference. And it says this, right? Jesus said, all that ever came before me. When Jesus appoints people, he sends them. He sends them. He sends them. He sends them. And he sends these men, and he gives them vision. But these other guys were climbed up some other way. God didn't send them. They came. They came. God didn't send them. They came. And they didn't come with vision. And they didn't come on the anointing of God. But they came. They have an agenda. Mm-hmm. It's an agenda they have. And you know what the agenda is? Now, when I was reading this, I looked at some comedies. Some guy's saying it's not really talking about the devil here, it's talking about false prophets and false teachers. Do you know what? It's the devil. Yeah. That's who it is. Let's see past false teachers and false this and false that. Amen. It's the devil. Yeah. That's who it is. It's nobody else. It's the devil. You know? That's going to be a Father Jackie. I better not, you know. I face the Lord, you know. So it's the devil. And we, like I said before, God sends men. When God has sent men through the ages, men he sent aside. He's anointed them. He's given them vision for his people to lead his people. And to bring his people into a place where they're walking with him, where the nations walk with him, and the nations blessed and the nations prosperous because of following God. But these other guys, I mean, let me say something here. This might be, I'm not pointing the finger at anything, but this is happening in our nation, by the way.
Jesus.
Now, men coming into the church, and women coming into the church, and God hasn't sent.
That's right.
And you know, they're causing the people, they're teaching. There are men with corrupt minds, folks. And they're teaching stuff to tell the people to God, accept this. Mm-hmm. This is the 21st century, guys. Mm-hmm. Come on. This is the 21st century. You know, love is love. But it's a lie. It's a lie of the devil. And you know what it's come to do? It's come to rob.
That's right.
It's come to rob. It's a thief and it's a robber. They've climbed up some other way. They haven't come through Jesus. They may have come through some theological teachings and some universities, but they haven't come through Jesus.
That's right. Jesus.
And I'm not, I swear to you, I'm not pointing the finger at nothing. You know? So, who are these guys come to steal from? Who? Come on, say it. Who do they come to steal from?
The sheep.
Sheep. They come to steal from the sheep. And here's the question. Now, I know I was talking to Johnny earlier on the phone. We know that Satan comes to steal the word. But I want to kind of give something else onto this. He does steal the word. We know he does. But why does he come to steal from the sheep, folks? What's he come to steal from you? Apart from everything he can get a hold of. But what's he come to steal from you? Come on, think. I'll tell you what he's come to steal from you. Jesus gives us the answer.
Life.
He says, I've come that you might have an abundant
life.
He wants to steal the life from you, folks. He wants to steal your life. He wants to steal your joy. He wants to steal your hope. If he can take the word, he's got that. He knows he's got it. So he wants to rob you of your joy. He wants to rob you of your strength.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's a thief and he's a robber.
Yes.
And he does send in false teachers. And he does send, you know, and when Paul says here, he says, it's quite amazing what Paul said. These guys have come in to the church, the early church. They've come in unaware.
Mm-hmm.
They've come in unaware, folks. They've come in unaware. And you know what they've come in to do, Paul says. He says they've come to spy out our liberty in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Because they want to bring us back into the Back into circumcision, back into the law. But, you know, the law make nothing perfect. And believe me, here's a guy who is an expert at trying to work his own sins out. And I found myself more sinful than I ever was. But it's not. Our victory, Paul is pointing something. If you look in the epistles, and the letters of Paul's writing, there's a theme running all the way through them. and it's the cross.
That's right, yes.
But honestly, that all the way through, it's the cross of Christ. Mm-hmm. The cross of Christ. And that's our hope.
Yes.
That's our joy. Mm-hmm. That's how we're made righteous.
Yes.
It's through the cross and through his blood. Yes. It isn't by any slavish law or anything like that. We can get away from that stuff. But Paul said, these guys have come in and you know, they're coming unaware. Just like these other folks come in. They've come in. You know what the thief does? Nobody does. I wrote down here. He wants to work his way up in the church. He isn't happy if he's just sitting in a part of the hallelujah. You know, they want positions. They want authority. Do you know why?
Mm-hmm.
Can rule all the sheep. Some people are not unaware as to who they really are sometimes. You know, I'm not coming across but they come in and they come in and they work their way up in the church, folks.
Mm-hmm.
Have elders and deacons and ministers.
Mm-hmm.
And they run over the sheep. Mm-hmm. And the sheep comes in. Jesus gives us a perfect example of the bit Pharisees.
Mm-hmm.
He does. You know? But anyway, he says, these guys have come in, Paul says, they've come in unaware, and they've come to spy out our liberty which we have in Christ. See, we don't become righteous with the laws anymore. We don't have to obtain to this. We don't have to observe this. We don't have to. Everything now is in Christ for us, folks. But then if you go to the book of Revelation, there's another one, isn't there? This is legalism. Satan tries to pull the church back into legalism. There's another one in the book of Revelation. This woman, this prophetess, and she's trying to get the people to order fornication. His license is coming. Right? Whichever way you look at it, he wants to steal. If he can't steal with your legalism, he'll try to bring you into license.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
He's just a thief and he wants to steal from you.
Jesus.
And that's his purpose. He wants to steal from you. And he wants to steal, yes, the word, but he wants to steal the life from you.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to steal that Holy Spirit filled life.
Mm-hmm.
That's in you.
That's
wants
right.
From you.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to steal it. Take it from you. And you know, he'll take everything that you'll give him.
That's right.
And Don even said today, and I thought, and it really clicked on to me, as for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord.
Amen.
Oh, you have to make a stand sometimes. This way, no further, thief. You know?
Mm-hmm.
But I want us to go to Genesis for a minute, okay? Well, for the next half hour anyway. How long did Don even speak?
Sure.
It was 45 minutes, wasn't it? Anyway, hope this makes sense to you, because you know, let's look at the first chapter of Genesis there. In the beginning it says God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was, you know, it was shapeless, there's no form to it. God brought order. God's a God of order, folks. If your life's in chaos, like my life used to be, the first thing that God does, he brings order into your life, you know? Yeah, peace, and he brings order into your life. And I was formless, and God, the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water, and God said, let there be light, and he saw that the light was good. And then, God made the skies, and he separated the water from the water, and he said, that's good. Then he said, let the dry land appear. And he says, let it have trees and fruit trees and vegetables and all this sort of, and herbs. And God saw it and it was good. And then he created the birds in the air. And then he created the animals in the sea. And then he created every creeping on the earth. And he said, and God said, it's good. And he created all of it and he said, it's good. And then he said, let us make man. Now, in my translation here, it says, let him have dominion.
Mm-hmm.
Let's take one. In my translation here, it says, let him rule.
Yeah.
Who's the first ruler? Who's the first ruler? Adam was.
Adam.
And God says here, let him rule over the fish of the sea. Let him rule over the birds of the air. Let him rule over everything that creepers on the face of the earth. And God gave him rule, folks. He was a ruler in a paradise, folks. You've got to imagine that. And not even was he a ruler in a paradise. And God said to Awesome, look, take every tree, apart from the tree of life, says, all the fruit, all the herbs, look, it's yours. Take it. It's for food for you. And it's for food for all the animals upon the earth. And it's for you, Lord, that he says, Adam. And Adam, well, you've got to think of this one. He was in paradise. He knew not what sin was. He had joy. He had peace. He had hope. He had love. He had security. He had an abundance of provision that God had given him. But he puts him to work in the wee garden just, you know, getting too spoiled, like, you know. Just pick up the leaves and that, you know. Keep it tidy, you know. But he had an abundance. He wasn't working for his food. Because God had supplied it. Mm-hmm. It's good to work. I'm not saying that, by the way. Some people think, oh, James knows we're not to work anymore, by the way. I'm not saying that. But God had created all of that, and you know what? He handed it over to Adam. Mm-hmm. Imagine just now you build, I don't know, you build a hotel. And you all the best in it, and you say to this guy, and you just, like, that's yours, we give it to you. That's God did that. He just handed over. He handed over the entire earth to Adam. Every tree and everything that was in it, he handed it over to Adam. And Adam ruled over it. Adam ruled over everything.
Yep.
He went to the place, and the Lord, you know what happens next. The Lord says, he brought the animals to Adam. He created them, and Adam would name them. There was no suitable... what's the word I'm looking for, folks? Help me here. I'm not going to say me. That's not the word to say. Partner. Friend. Help me. Partner. There was no, you know, you think I'm going to come up with something crazy, ladies, aren't you? No, I'm not going to do that. But, and so, you know, God creates Eve. And he brings her to the man, and she's like this, you know. No, she's not. She can't. God, and Adam, you know, big-eyed, and starts saying, oh, bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. And, you know, thank God, I got a wee revelation. I showed you about Lynn last week. She says, oh, finally, Lord, he's getting it. You know, 25 years of getting it, but he finally got the revelation, Lord. I'm going a bit over the top there, but it wasn't far off. You know, let me tell you a secret. You know, since the last couple of months, I haven't been working. So I got into the habit, I don't know how. Anyways, I got in the habit of waking up in the bed. Change everything, make the bed. I put covers on it and everything. I have to do it a couple of weeks. I feel kind of proud of myself. I really was. So I said, well, if I made the bed, it's only taking you 25 years, she says. It's only taking you 25. I'll be telling you 25 years. So, you know, guys, it comes to me slowly. It does come to me. I might lose hair and I put a bit of weight on, but I'm getting it, you know. So, when God created Eve, have a laugh. You're allowed to have a laugh. When God created Eve, he didn't take the bone out of Adam's back. And he didn't take it out of his chest. He took it out of his side. Do you know why? Because man and woman in the beginning walked equal.
Mm-hmm.
They did. They walked equal.
Hallelujah.
And she was a helpmate, a strength to him, a support. He walked deep on and she goes, hallelujah, he's got the revelation, Lord. But I'm getting that's a couple of things I'm still looking at, by the way, you know. But he's got the revelation, you know. So they walked together.
Yes.
And, you know, and that was lost. But Christ has restored that in the spirit.
Yes.
And man and women together.
Amen.
You know? So we know what happens, right?
Mm-hmm.
We know what happens. They're hanging around the tree, ain't they?
Mm-hmm.
And the serpent comes along and he twists God's word. He's after to deceive them. Because he's out to destroy everything that they have.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. But I don't want to make this all about Adam and Eve, okay? He hates God. And he hated God's relationship with his creation.
That's right.
He wanted to steal from God too. Not just from us. He wants to steal from God. You're precious to God. Our relationship with God and our time with him is precious to him. So, We'd hardly hear an Adonai. Changes us, yeah. So Adam rules. And so they're hanging around the garden. They're hanging around the tree. And we know what happens next. The serpent comes in. And he deceives Eve. And then she gives to her husband. He eats. And then it says that both their eyes are open. And they knew the knowledge between good and evil. And you know, the people I asked to be here tonight, I want them to come, I love them.
Mm-hmm.
Like Adam and Eve, they're hiding from God. Because
mm-hmm.
you know why? They're struggling with sin.
Mm-hmm.
If you're struggling with sin, don't hide from God. You've got to bring it to Him.
Mm-hmm.
That's the best thing to do. Bring it to God, don't run from God. And I'm even heartbroken in the way I do that. Just, Lord, I invite them, you know, I invite folks.
Yes.
Life is for them. The thief's stealing from you.
Mm-hmm.
He's stealing your life from you because, you know, he deceives you.
Jesus.
He discourages you.
Mm-hmm.
He tries to depress you. He tries to bewilder you.
Mm-hmm.
And he leaves you in a place and then he points the finger at you.
That's right.
Inside, you know, inside, this person told me, I love God. He said, what do you do? I said, but you need to make a clear decision to come now.
Mm-hmm.
You should come to God. You need to come.
Yeah.
With all your heart. With all
Jesus.
I said, be committed. I said, my heart's going cold. I feel I've dragged to the world. I said, my heart's going cold, this person said to me.
Mm-hmm.
I said, but I still love God. I said, yeah, because you had a fellowship. And he says, you pray to the enemy. I'm going off a bit here. I've been talking to a brother lately. And we're talking about Romans 8. There is therefore no condemnation for them who are in Christ Jesus. Ah, but he says to me, for if we walk in the flesh, brother, there is. I says, I have been thinking about it. Is that right, brother? I've been thinking about it. But the Bible says this. This is what it says in this bit here. It says this, right? And it says, those who walk in the flesh don't mind the things of the flesh. Don't mind it. Doesn't bother it. And if it doesn't bother it, I can assure you, it won't feel any condemnation.
Mm.
Why is it when the people of God decide in their heart they want to go all the way for God, I'd start to feel the resistance? I start to feel the guilt coming in. What's this one? Finding the condemnation. I mean, if you like there, backslidden,
mm-hmm.
I don't really believe that the guilt and condemnation is coming from God.
Mm.
But you're coming under the guilt and the condemnation of Satan. Because as far as I know, as I look at the Bible, God doesn't point the finger. He's come to save. He's come to deliver.
Yes, Lord.
He wants to take them out of it. So when we go back into these things, we bring ourselves back into the condemnation of Satan. And he's there. And he doesn't want you to come back.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to pile so much rubbish onto you. He's going to pile so much stuff onto you
mm-hmm.
that you feel, I can never get out of this place. This is what this person said to me. This person said, I read my Bible. He says, I get nothing from it.
Mm.
I get nothing from it. I says, persevere.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
I says, persevere. I said, take time, oh God. Persevere through it. I says, I'm speaking from experience. I've fallen into sin as a Christian, by the way. You guys don't know about it. But I know what it's like when Satan's in your ear and he's pushing you down.
Mm-hmm.
I had a few confessions there and again. You're struggling. I can share some of my struggles with you. God's brought me to it because you know why he's been merciful to me with. So I cried out to him, God, I don't want this really, Lord. My heart is crying out for you, but I feel so discouraged sometimes, Lord. I feel so broken down. And I can't tell anyone. I feel. And I sow some leaves together and I go behind the bushes. And that's what Satan wants, folks. He loves that. He loves you being merciful, by the way. He loves it. Because he's a miserable git himself. He is. He's a liar. He's a miserable, 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 hateful, spiteful being. And he hates God. And he hates God's creation. But one day, as Barry Smith said, when he's been dragged along the chain, and everybody will look at him, I was all saying, to hell with him. That's where he's going. To hell with him. That's, you know, That's the future for these demonic spirits, these evil spirits. Their future is the lake of fire.
Amen.
And I'm just going to remind them of it.
Yes.
That's
Amen.
Your future. Hallelujah. We're going to heaven, oh God.
Amen.
And you know, Jesus. I hate the devil, I really do, because he's wrecked so much of my life sometimes.
Hmm.
I let him. Lord God. Here we go. Right. So here we are. Right. So, the fall has happened. The fall has happened. And then God comes. And he says, Adam. Adam, where are you? Where are you, Adam?
Jesus.
And he says, we heard you. Walking, Lord. And we heard ourselves from you. He says, why? Who told you we were naked? Who told you that you were naked? Who stripped you of the glory I've given you? Who stripped you of what I've put on you? And then he says, Lord, the woman, who was maybe by my side, like, you know, she gave me that apple. And he says, the serpent, Lord, he did it. I mean, it does go back to Satan. All these thieves and robbers, they come from one place. They come from the father of lies, who was a murderer from the beginning, folks. And we need to get that clear.
Mm-hmm.
We need to get that clear. So, here we go. And then, you know, when we look at the fall, and I said this to Lorraine last week, we look at us, yeah, mankind fell, and man fell. But women, you fell.
Mm-hmm.
You fell from your place where God had put you, beside your man. And it says here, I will greatly multiply your pains in childbirth. And he says, your desire will be for your husband and he shall rule over you.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't at that first time. It's a partnership they had.
Mm-hmm.
A partnership. But you notice the fell happened when Adam gave the thing. Because God gave him dominion. God gave him the rule. And he says, rule over. But they're together. And then he says to Adam, this is, you know, then he says to Adam, cursed is the ground because of you, Adam. He said, and says, through painful toil you will eat your bread for the rest of your days. Thorns and thistles it will produce for you. I mean, think of this for 1 minute. Here's a man who's a ruler. He's a ruler, by the way, he was.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, paradise. Sinless, sinless paradise.
Right.
He walked in health. He walked in strength. He walked in joy.
Mm.
And this is the most beautiful thing that he had. God came in fellowship.
Yes, Lord.
God came into the garden.
Mm-hmm.
Say, Adam, I'm going to create some animals today. You're naming it. Come on.
Mm-hmm.
And he lost all of that. You know another thing he's lost? And this thing, you know, he lost God's provision.
Mm-hmm.
How many times has Satan robbed God's people of their provision? You know, I'm thinking lately, he's robbed me of something lately. You know, but he robs you of provision, folks.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an abundant provision that God gives his people. Do you know why God gives it, folks? Do you know why God gives us eternal life? Do you know why he gives us provision? Do you know why he wants to fellowship with us? I've got to give you a big secret. You've got to know this. Because he's a good shepherd.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
God's good.
Hallelujah. Yes, Lord.
He's a good shepherd.
Mm-hmm.
So we know that Adam's been robbed, absolutely robbed, of everything that the Father had given him. I'm not going on too much. I'm okay with you.
Mm-hmm.
He's been robbed of his fellowship with the Father. He's been robbed of the Word. It was a mistrust. Is that what God really said? They were robbed of fellowship with God. That's what Satan loves to do. He comes in and he gives a distorted picture of your Father God in heaven.
That's right.
He's done it to me for years, folks. He gave a distorted picture of God.
Yeah.
He robbed him of his fellowship. He robbed him of his rule. He robbed him of his position. Do you know what? He even became, you know, we don't see this, but he even came between the relationship between the man and the woman. He even came between that. One
lie. Mm-hmm.
And he robbed him of his abundant provision. He robbed him. Do you know what he robbed him of, folks? He robbed him of abundant life.
Yes, that's right.
And the thief and the robber comes
mm-hmm.
in and John 10, and he's trying to do the same thing all over again. And he does it every single day to people. He comes in. He comes in, folks. He comes into Rob. Here we go, John 10, eh? Don't have to turn it. I get my... They said, but the thief comes only, we're back at John 10, the thief comes only to kill, steal and destroy. Or steal, kill and destroy. That's his very purpose. That's his very purpose. He has no other purpose for the church. He has no other purpose for the sheep. He has no other purpose for the people of God, but to steal from them, to kill them and destroy them. But Jesus came to give his life. And folks, what is this life? What is this life? What is it? Is it a better quality of life? Yeah. I stopped drinking. And stopped smoking. But, you know, the gaining weight thing's not been too good for me. So I've got to lose that. So, yeah, I've got a better quality of life. You know, my wife is still with me. That wouldn't, I swear to you, that would not have happened if God had not come into my
hallelujah.
My God, your soul. You know, that would be just a wee story. Johnny picked me up. It was really funny, by the way. Johnny picked me up. You know, that night, I was so drunk. Do you know the old post offices in Leicester? Bullhorn Road, we used to call it.
Yeah.
I was lying there, drunk out of my head. And I've never been a place where I couldn't make it home. You know, I could take a bucket and get home. But I was so, honestly, I just wrecked the place.
People take a taxi.
I just wrecked the place. I just wrecked this woman's place.
That's right.
And I was lying there, and I said to God, I was backslidden at this time. I said to God, if you're really there, then God, and you please give me a lift home.
Jeez.
And I stood up, and this boy picked me up. There was a bunch of lads, and they dropped me off in Barras. And I was walking up this road, and I saw this other car coming. I didn't know it was Johnny. And he says, you want a lift? I said, yeah. And he's got this Christian. I said, that's Christian music. He says, yeah, that's Christian music, you know. That's, you can hear Johnny say, I'm going to tell you my side of the story. And he said, well, long story short, can I come and see you tomorrow? And, you know, being drunk, he said, come on up. I purposely stayed in bed all day. I swear to you, to be honest to God, I purposely stayed in bed all day. And it was 6 o'clock, and I'm even peckish and hungry. And I went down to the kitchen. And there he had the window. What's going on? This is God, you turned that really well. You turned that really good, Lord. So he comes in. And then I'm trying to make a roll up, man. I was just like, shake it like I'm trying to make a roll up. But, you know, God came into my life. So it's. It's not just a better quality of life that God's given us, folks. It's not. Do you know what it is? It's a life of the Spirit.
Yes.
It's a Spirit-filled, glorious, powerful, dunamis life He's given us. Abundant. One guy says it's. I think he's translated it here as this, and he said, meaningful, purposeful, joyful, eternal, but it actually doesn't describe it. It actually doesn't describe it.
No.
So, we have this abundant life, folks, man. We have this abundant life that He gives us. We're filled with the Spirit. Filled with the Spirit of God. That's what Satan wants, by the way. He doesn't want people of God filled with the Spirit of God. It's dangerous for him. It could ruin his kingdom.
Totally.
He doesn't want that. Turn with me to John 4. Oh gosh, this is the story about the woman in the well, folks. It's the story of the woman in the well, and Jesus has been weary, he's been walking, and he says to the Samaritan woman, give me a drink. And she says to her, how can you ask me a drink being a Jew, and I'm a Samaritan woman? He says, how can you ask me for a drink? He says to her, Jesus answered, if you knew the gift of God, and who it is who's asking you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. So he's got her attention. And she's pulling up the water. Where do you get this living water then?
Mm.
And she's got her attention. So then he says here in verse 13, come down to verse 13 of the quotes. It says here, Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks the water I will give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." There's a key word in here, folks. It's a key word. You know what the word is? Ask.
Mm-hmm.
I want to ask you tonight.
Yes.
Satan been robbing you?
Mm-hmm.
Has he been robbing you of life? Has he been robbing you of life? Has he been blocking up your wells with discouragements and fears and confusions and things coming against you? Has he been blocking up your well? Has he been trying to take your life from you? I'm talking about the eternal life. The spirit-filled life. Has he been blocking it?
Mm-hmm.
Has he been trying to strip it from you? Has he? Because when I was praying a couple of nights ago, and it was almost like a revelation to me. Lord, this is the strength of your people. Your Holy Spirit, God. This is what I need, Lord, more, Father God, to be filled up with your Holy Spirit. It's what your church needs. It's what my children need.
Mm-hmm.
It's what your children need.
Yes, Lord.
It's to be filled with the Holy Spirit, because it's the Holy Spirit that really changes things, folks.
Mm-hmm.
It really changes things in our lives.
Amen.
And we have it. Turn with me, please, to Matthew. Matthew, Matthew, verse chapter 9. Yeah, here we go. No, sorry, chapter 7, folks. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone?
Mm.
Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more will God give good gifts to those who, what?
Ask him.
Ask! Sometimes, you know, you can't push people to take something that they don't want. So Jesus is asking the question to this woman. He's asking a question. He says, if you asked, I'll give it to you. If you asked, I'll give it to you. Is your well running dry tonight, folks? Is it? Ask.
No,
I'll give you.
Yes, Lord.
I promise you, this is my prayer for the last few days. God, fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Fill me, Lord, overflowing. Fill me to overflowing with the Holy Spirit. Fill me to overflowing, Lord, with your Holy Spirit. Because you get the Word of God, which Satan tries to steal. And you get the Spirit of God together. You've got power, man. You've got life.
Yes, Lord.
Folks, he wants to steal that abundant life, that Holy Spirit filled life. He wants to block it, he wants to steal it from us. And I got pictures, you know. You ever see a river, and you know, and it's kind of shallow, and all this debris, kind of like there's slime, and there's moss, and bits of wood, and this and that. That's sometimes what some Christians are like.
Mm-hmm.
I know, I've been like that. But sometimes it just takes a flood.
Mm-hmm.
Nice flood.
Yes. Jesus.
And it just shifts all that rubbish. I've been asking God, fill me with the Spirit and take all the dross out of me, because I've got tons of it. Let me tell you a story about Reinhard Bonnke. He was going down this harbour one time, he said. And he saw these huge, massive ships, and the tide was out. And I was, wow, how did these things ever float? He says, never rise, he says.
Mm-hmm.
And he was there, and a couple of hours later, he came back on the side, and the tide had come in. And he says, these things just
Yep.
Folks, when we let the Holy Spirit do the work in our lives,
Amen.
He will shift things.
Amen.
And we can't.
Amen.
And it's impossible for us. But the Holy Spirit will just lift that rubbish out.
Hallelujah.
He lift it all, folks. Lift it all out, folks.
Yes, Lord.
Come with me to Isaiah. Mm-hmm. I think I'm
nearly
beat.
What's that? Already.
I'm coming to Isaiah, okay? It's my lifelong ambition to preach for more than 45 minutes,
Joseph. You're way past that, dude.
Yeah. No, it's not really. You know. Oh. It's not really. Right. Listen. He says, Isaiah 55. I want to ask you, and be honest, are you thirsty?
Jesus.
Are you thirsty for the Holy Spirit?
Yes, Lord.
Are you thirsty for the Holy Spirit of God?
Mm-hmm.
And God counsels you. He says, listen to what he says. Come unto me, you who are thirsty. Come to the water. You have no money. Come buy, eat. Come buy wine and milk without money or cost. Why spend your money for what's not bread and that which you live which doesn't satisfy? Listen unto me, eat what is good, that your soul may delight in the riches of the earth. And God is saying, Babe, come. Come. Don't let that enemy rob you anymore. You come. You come, you come, you come and drink freely of my spirit. You come and drink freely of my spirit. You know, if we let the word of God into our hearts, and because Jesus said, he says, if you're my disciple, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free.
Mm-hmm.
He says, most of us are bound by lies.
Mm-hmm.
We're bound by the lies of Satan. You're this, or you're that, or you're that, or you're this.
Mm-hmm.
Or you're this, or you're that, or you're that, or you're this. But the truth is, we're children of God. And once we get that truth in
us,
and we let the Holy Spirit of God fill us.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to Isaiah again. Isaiah 61. And it says this. Here's the good shepherd. He says this. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor.
Mm-hmm.
He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom to the captives. Has the enemy been holding you captive? Has he been oppressing you and holding you captive from entering into the life that God has for you? With that well of life welling up inside you, you've got joy and you've got peace and you've got mercy and you've got love, and the things that bug you don't bug you anymore, because the life of God is just oozing out of you. Because that's the way it should be. That's the way it should be, folks. We shouldn't be beaten down and struggling. That's not what God had planned for us. That's the thief, folks. That's the thief. You know, in Matthew, Jesus said, he said, when he looked out into the crowd and he saw them coming towards him, and his heart was full of compassion for them. His heart was full of compassion for his people. And he saw his people coming towards him. This wasn't Gentiles. This wasn't barbarians. It wasn't Romans or Greeks. It was his people coming. And he looked at them and he said, they were harassed and helpless. And he said, and like sheep without a shepherd.
That's right.
See, that's what the thief does. That's what the robbers do, folks. They rob the sheep of the life of God.
Mm-hmm.
But Jesus came that we might have life and life to the full.
Right. Robbers, yeah.
I mean,
Jesus.
That's why Jesus pulled up the Pharisees so much. He abused their position. He abused it. And he says, you lay heavy burdens on people. You load them down. And you won't even lift your finger to help them. I tell you what, that's what Satan does to you.
Right.
He'll come with his condemnation, he'll come with the guilt. And he'll press it so much onto you, and he won't even lift a finger to help you.
Right.
But you know what Jesus says? He says, my burden's light.
Amen.
I used to wonder about that scripture. I talked to a brother, and I says, hey, listen, do you feel burdened sometimes? Why? He said, it shouldn't be that way.
That's right.
And he says, no, it shouldn't. Jesus said his burden's light.
Amen. Yes.
And his yoke is easy.
Mm-hmm.
He says, why am I feeling it so heavy? Why? Actually, the Bible says that you cast off, it says, the weight of the sin that does so easily beset you. Cast it off. Take it off as if you were like a cloak. Because it doesn't belong on you.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't belong on the people of God. Let's just be that. He said, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach good. Good news. Good news. It's the gospel. Good news of what, folks? What is it? Good news of
victory.
Good news of victory. Not good news of just glad tidings or just good news, but it's good news of victory. We have good news of victory. To proclaim freedom to the captives. And I read this bit in the listening. To release from darkness. A release from the darkness for the prisoner. And a release from darkness for the prisoner. Captive. Do you know what I believe that darkness is? I believe it's like a spiritual depression. And Jesus has come to take people out of that.
Yes, Lord.
Take them out of that darkness. Take them out of that. And he says, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of the vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, and to provide for those who grieve in Zion. And listen to this, but he says, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garments of praise instead of the spirit of despair. He says, they will be called the oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, for the display of his splendor.
Hallelujah.
Amen, Father.
Yes, Lord.
And the one bit I want to get you tonight that really just passed up everything else is how you're thirsty.
Jesus.
That's the one bit I want to really get you tonight for us. Are you thirsty? Do you thirst for the Spirit of God? Are you thirsty for God? Do you feel a thirst within you? Is there things within you and you just can't seem to shift them?
Hallelujah.
The burden's on you and you can't seem to get them off you. You can't seem to get your spirit free from it or your heart free from it. Jesus has come to lift that.
Yes, Lord.
And do you know how he does it, folks? We let ourselves be filled with the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Yes, sir. That's right, Lord.
Do you remember in the Old Testament? I don't know but there were certain men who came and they filled the well with dirt and rocks because they wanted to drive them out of the land. Get out of here. Satan wants to do the same thing. Oh my God, what about these Christians? Get them out of here. Don't let them have life. They'll destroy everything.
That's right.
Because once God's people start to get excited about Jesus, once they start to get excited about this life that they have,
yes, Lord.
And once they get started, I'm saved. I'm not under condemnation anymore.
Yes, Lord.
You don't need to be either. Jesus said it's
me. Hallelujah.
Do you remember Peter? When they brought him before the Sanhedrin. And it says, Peter had been filled with the Spirit. So when you're filled with the Spirit, you've got a boldness, folks. It's not your own boldness, it's a boldness from the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And he points to them, you handed them over to ungodly men. You handed them over and the Spirit. And it says, why are you putting this man's blood in us? But they were to blame. And it says, and Peter spoke of boldness to them.
Yes, Lord.
And they couldn't do nothing, and they sent them out. And you know what Peter did? They had a prayer meeting, and you know what happened in the prayer meeting, folks? They got together and they said this, Lord, stretch forth your hand.
Hallelujah.
Do more miracles.
Amen.
Do more wonders, Lord.
Right. Yes, Lord.
Preach the word, Lord. Give us strength to preach the word. And you know what happened? The hands shook, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. They were filled with the Holy Spirit again. Do we need to get filled with the Holy Spirit? God, I know I do.
Jesus.
And God's not, God didn't keep it from us.
Jesus.
And I said to myself, well, God, how do I just get in there? And the answer's there. Ask. Ask. So I'm going to leave you with that tonight.
Jesus.
If you're thirsty, if there's debris come into your well, and it's blocking your will. And it's blocking the streams of life in you. Let God shift.
Yes, Lord.
I was so blessed with the word of tonight. I was really good with it. I'm not just saying that because you heard it. I really mean it. I was really blessed because I could eat it. It was really sweet, by the way. It was a sweet type of worship. Really, I really enjoyed it. And, wow.
Jesus.
Let's just wait on the Father for a minute. Oh, Father, we just worship you. You're a king. Without you, we can do nothing. Without your strength, Lord, we're just another organization. Without your spirit and your spirit's power and your spirit's anointing, Lord God, we're just an organization. We're just a group of people that meet together without your spirit, Lord. And I pray, Father, and I pray,
Jesus.
I pray this for myself, Lord. I pray this for my brothers. There will be a filling of your Holy Spirit in our lives, Lord. Even more, Lord God. You know your word says, do not be drunk with wine, but be filled with
Jesus.
Father, fill us, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Fill us with your Holy Spirit, with life, Lord. God, and let that word has been brought to us, Lord, and your spirit connect together in our life to bring dunamis, power to live free from burdens, Lord. Power to overcome the enemy and all his accusations, Lord. Power, Lord, to live. God, and bring a mighty work to step forth your hand to do signs and wonders and miracles, Lord God. God, turn our families
round.
Oh, Father. Bless you.
Yes, Lord.
Bless you.
Amen.
Jesus.
Yes. Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Jesus.